Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and we've got fireworks, barbed wire, and a ring big enough to make Sonic the Hedgehog memes trend. It's the AEW Revolution post-show power rankings presented by Elite of the Week. If you're new to Elite of the Week, this is how it works. What we do is we take all of the wrestlers on the show. This week, it's AEW Revolution, and we power rank them 1 through 10. Each person ranked gets a point assigned to their ranking. So you get 10 points for getting ranked number 1, 9 points for getting ranked number 2, etc. And what we do is we add up all those points. So then at the end of the year, we can have a really big super power ranking. So make sure to tune in each week to be a part of that journey and see the big show at the end of the year. This year, or this episode, is particularly special because it is a pay-per-view, meaning everyone ranked gets an extra point added onto their total just for being ranked on the AEW Revolution show. Pretty cool, huh? So let's get going. But before we do, I do want to ask everyone to do me a huge favor. Since you're here, since you got the time, do me a favor, hit the like button, leave a comment, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, share with your friends. I know all that stuff is a pain in the butt, but it helps shows like this grow. So if you could do me a favor, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I'm not going to do it. Someone else is going to do it, but no one else is going to do it. You got to do it. So hit the button. Keep things going. Keep things positive. Give a 5-star review. You got the time. Why don't you? Well, let's get this on the road. Enough of me begging for the support. Let's get to these rankings already, right? Starting at number 1, we have Kenny Omega. Came in rocking a cool shirt, but what really gives him the win here, besides winning an exploding barbed wire death match, is that he did it the smart way. He knew there's no rules, so why not have his buddies help out? Not only that, but he beat a guy whose bread and butter is death matches in Jon Moxley, which, no matter how you slice it, is legendary. Also, he gets an extra point for defending the men's AEW World Championship. At number 2, we have Hikaru Shida. From the moment she entered with that amazing attire, she was what a champion is supposed to be. She was showing off surprising power, like with that middle rope outside to inside suplex, hard precision striking, and surprising cleverness with that little eye poke, but also survived a tough battle against a tough opponent. Possibly the best women's match in AEW so far, and a big win to retain the women's AEW World Championship. At number 3, we have the Young Bucks. The AEW Tag Team Champions came in hot and dominated early. They also survived some really tough offense from the challengers, including Matt Jackson taking a baseball bat to the back and a heat seeker. The lifelong chemistry of the brothers came through in the end as they avenged Papa Buck and held on to their titles for another big defense. Now, at this time, we're going to go ahead and talk about who was the best dressed. Pay-per-view specifically always have some really cool outfits, but this time for AEW Revolution, I think we'd all agree the best dressed was Bryce Rensburg. That outfit was so awesome in the main event. Was he dressed as a beekeeper? Was he an extra from the movie Outbreak? Was he Walter White brewing up some meth? Or was he just dressed as someone trying to keep E.T. hostage? I don't know, but it was a crazy outfit. It was great, and I loved it. Bryce, you're the best dressed tonight. Number 4, we have Scorpio Sky, who gave us a glimpse into what might be a new Scorpio Sky on commentary this week on Dynamite. But that really showed through here tonight. A lot of the cool moves, specifically highlighted by that frog splash on a Max Caster across the ladder. But the real moment that set Scorpio Sky apart tonight was him talking some smack to Cody Rhodes before shoving him off the ladder to add a little bit of stank to that victory and grabbing the brass ring to become the number 1 contender for the TNT Championship. At number 5, we have Jon Moxley. He cut his teeth in this kind of environment, and it showed, hitting moves like the Death Rider. It's a Death Rider in an exploding barbed wire death match, right? And wrapping barbed wire around his own arm to inflict damage on Kenny Omega. Even though he lost, he gets bumped up to number 5 because he took 2 one-winged angels to put him away, which is saying a lot. That said, you may wonder why he isn't higher, but the truth is, this is his kind of match. He has barbed wire in his own entrance video, for crying out loud. So losing this kind of match has to hurt. Well, I mean, you know, more than the obvious reasons it has to hurt. Number six, we have Sting. What an amazing match for Sting to get to be a part of. If The Undertaker has the Boneyard, then Sting, at the very least, gets to have this. I love that he blended his face paint to look like Darby's. I love the way this match looked top to bottom. Sting catching the bat after it was thrown down from the second story was one of my favorite moments of the night. And he hits a big Scorpion Death Drop to hang in with the Young Guns one more time and get a big win. That, as an old wrestling fan, was really fun to see. At this time, we have to talk about the dud of the week. Look, we know what it is. It was the explosion at the end of the show. It was lackluster. You saw it. You read about it on Twitter. There are tons of spicy takes about it already. It was literally a dud. At number seven, we have Darby Allin. In a world where we thought the cinematic match was dead, it's come back in the image of Darby Allin. This felt like one of those videos that we would see hyping him up, and it was done so well, from the followers in the masks, that dusty, dirty warehouse, to Allin himself playing the role of Spider-Man, jumping off walls, climbing up beams, and diving out of a second-story window through a platform to take out Cage and likely win the match. At number eight, we have Hangman Adam Page. Really gutted out a tough win here, surviving a beating to his arm with the ring steps and the ring post, as well as having to fend off Private Party and survive a side effect and a twist of fate. The moment of the match happened at the end, though, as it often does, however, when the Dark Order came to save Page and Tony Schiavone yelled, "Yes!" as they raised the Hangman up, allowing him to hit the Buckshot Lariat. The end of the match celebration with the gang made it feel like a real good moment. And that's before Hangman even starts canning any of that Big Matt money that's now his. At number nine, we have Ethan Page. This was a surprise entrance that felt like it delivered, and it also really mattered. Twitter reacted positively. He came off looking like a real contender in the match, throwing Sky into a ladder, crushing Archer with it, and then hitting Archer with a massive razor's edge as well. He didn't win, but he's a contender. Number 10, we have the Death Triangle. They don't just have the scariest entrance theme in wrestling. They're quick, sharp, and hard-hitting. Phoenix seemingly can find himself anywhere and everywhere all at once, and Pac is just so brutal and strong. The Final Four sequence was big, and they won and are now going to face the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championship. And last of all, it is the Farmer's Market. This is where I, Jack Farmer, treat a wrestler like they are a stock on the market, Farmer's Market, also where you get fresh produce. And basically I say, who is someone you need to keep an eye out for? And this time for AEW Revolution, it's going to be Rio Mizunomi. And this is a little bit of a cheat because she did just have a title shot on a pay-per-view, but she hasn't been featured that often, and it's my show, so I'm putting her here anyways. She looked great and probably gave Hikaru Shida her toughest match to date. And I don't know what the plans are for her going forward, but I have a feeling they involve more AEW. And that does it for the bite-sized version of the AEW Revolution Elite of the Week. We are back to our full-length versions this Wednesday after AEW Dynamite at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Make sure to join us on YouTube or Twitch. Also, we are available as a podcast after the show, wherever you find your podcast, whether it be Spotify or Apple or any of that good stuff. So please make sure to check that out. And until next time, as always, do your best and be yourself.